Paul Nolte is the senior wealth advisor and market strategist for Murphy and Silvestre. Good morning, Paul. Looking at the headlines today, a deep funk settling over the world's second largest economy. China is in the news, and it's a global economy, so I have to guess that this is going to affect us in some way, isn't it?
It is, and it has been kind of an overhang for the markets for a while. We've all been looking at China and trying to determine how they're coming out of the pandemic, what types of policies President Xi wants to institute in order to get the economy going. They've cut some interest rates. They've made mortgages a little bit more affordable in an attempt to goose their economy. But you're right, at the margin, they are a huge user of industrial metals. And that's where you see a lot of the slowdown in their particular economy as they use less energy, metals, et cetera. And that's really been an indication of how slow their economy has been going at this point, certainly not at the 5 to 7% that we've been used to over the last two, three decades or so. It's a more pedestrian 3 to 4%, which is much too slow for China's liking.
And we have the jobs numbers. We got those last week. How did you read them?
There was a little bit of something for everybody in there in the fact that the revisions to the back months came down, indicating that the job market is finally starting to moderate a little bit. We saw wage growth slow down a little bit, and I think that is due in large part to an increase in the number of service jobs, and services tend to be at the lower end of the pay scale. But that gives the Fed at least some reason to think that wage growth can moderate and that will help inflation. So 187,000 new jobs, a very good report from that perspective. The headline number was very good. The unemployment number, we're seeing a lot more people coming into the workforce, which has bumped up that unemployment number a little bit. And that's about the only fly in the ointment that we see here. But remember, too, that employment data tends to be one of the lagging indicators. So it's not going to tell you that a recession is on the horizon. It's going to happen after the fact. After we're in a recession, you'll see the jobs numbers and the unemployment number go up fairly quickly.
Most of the financial headlines I've seen in the last day or two have been along the lines of investors questioning whether stocks can continue sort of defying expectations and hanging on to the gains that they've made this year. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and it's one of the things that we've highlighted most of the year. It's counterintuitive the way the market has gone this year, and the fact that interest rates have been going up. You know, 3-4 years ago, pre-pandemic, the argument was there is no alternative. You have to buy stocks because interest rates are essentially zero. You're getting nothing for your money to put it into treasuries or CDs. Today, you're getting 4 to 5, in some cases 6%. Yet stocks are going up, and the thought now is, well, the economy is still doing pretty well. Earnings are going to continue to grow, so you have to buy stocks. And unfortunately, one of those two arguments is wrong, and I think that we're seeing investors rotate a little bit more to fixed income, taking that sure thing of 4 to 5% the treasury market and moving away from stocks a little bit. So outside of the top 7-8 stocks by market cap, Apple, Meta, NVIDIA, et cetera, the returns on the market are rather pedestrian in the mid-single digits. They're not that 20 to 30% number that everybody keeps throwing around. That is a result of a very few stocks that have really pushed the markets higher. So underneath the hood, equities are struggling here a little bit, and we think that will continue as long as interest rates continue to go higher.
Isn't September usually the worst month of the year for stocks?
It's a good race between August and September. October gets all the headlines because that's where all the crashes occur. Mm-hmm. But September is not a fabulous month when we take a look historically at this part of the presidential cycle. Normally, we would see the first half of September do okay, and then we see the last part of September struggle. And then as we get into mid-October is when we usually start to see the markets start to rise going into year end. So there is history, at least on the side of continued weakness in the market as we go through the month of September. But as we saw in August, and we thought August might be a soft month, it was really only down 1.5%. So barely much to write home about. So it was kind of a sideways market. September may be similar to that. We do have a Fed meeting at the end of September, and certainly a lot of people are going to be looking at the Fed to try to help determine where interest rates are going to be going for the rest of the year.
And ahead of that meeting, the Fed governors are going to be talking. What is it, Thursday that they'll do that?
Oh, my gosh, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday is going to be a busy day. I think most every governor is going to be in some conference or chatting somewhere. So we're going to get a lot of information from the Fed governors about their thoughts on the economy, their thoughts on where they see interest rates ultimately stopping, if they're done raising rates or their job is not yet done, and maybe how high they think things are going to go. But I think one of the things that you're going to hear a lot of is they're going to be data dependent, which means, like everything else, we're going to be watching all the data that comes out from the economy. And that puts an added pressure on each of the data points that we're looking at going, okay, so maybe this is important, maybe that's important. And it creates a little bit of volatility in the markets, which I think we will be seeing for at least the next few months.
That'll be almost as important as Paul Nolte's thoughts today from Murphy and Sylvest. Thank you, sir. We'll talk next week.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good one.